This just has to do with the second incarnation, God becoming flesh in us, what God really intends for our lives versus just something low, something tame, something domesticated. I mean, it's real easy to kind of get locked into a perspective that sees your life sort of on the same course as it's been on for the past couple of years, with minimal influence, minimal spiritual authority, minimal whatever, and just sort of be satisfied with it and totally miss the depth of what God wants to do in all of our hearts. As Paul said, he only saw through a glass darkly, and that's the same with us. I mean, we can see it, and an hour later not really see it. I mean, it's just that elusive. It's just that hard to hold on to. Just like the disciples, you can read parables and think how ignorant they are. Can't they understand what he's talking about? And yet, I feel exactly the same way, where things are so clear, the whole universe makes sense, and within an hour I'm wondering what my name is, and it's just uncanny how much like them, because it's spiritual, not physical. It's not just like a geometry test where you can study geometry for a year and now know geometry. It's time to move on to algebra. It's so much in connection to a living God that all things are from Him and through Him, that 15 minutes away, I'm Mr. Potato Head again. I mean, that's really all it takes. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. I mean, that whole verse made me do backflips all week. What in the world is that talking about? There aren't 6 million people knocking on my door, asking me questions. What is this? What is this? What kind of life are you talking about? I mean, maybe it's knocking on everybody else's door and I'm just being left out. But there's something phenomenal, something remarkable that God wants to do in our lives that so far surpasses anything we've seen or imagined. Imagine that. There's even a verse. Anything we've seen or imagined. Well, I think before I even read this, I'll just maybe look at a couple of the passages I wrote down. One was the one in 1 Peter. But concerning the salvation, the prophets, it was revealed to them that they weren't serving themselves but us. Whatever us is, whatever our lives are about, is more significant than what their lives were about. Because their lives were serving us. They were getting things ready for us. Elijah calling down fire from heaven, all that stuff going on was getting things ready for me to live in Timber Falls and clean some carpets. And well, they didn't have to go through all that trouble just for that. I mean, there's something to grab that's so far beyond what our hearts can contain, even for a few fleeting moments. I mean, it really is seeing through a glass darkly. No eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind is conceived of what God has prepared for those who love Him, but He has revealed it to us by His Spirit. God wants to do something in our lives that has to do with Jesus living in us that this whole earth was built for. Everything that's happened up to now. 2 Corinthians 3. It's kind of contrasting the glory of the old covenant versus the glory of the new covenant. Verse 7. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Verse 10. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing on it while the radiance was fading away. But to this day their minds were dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed, metamorphosized, into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I mean, I'd call what happened with Moses on Mount Sinai a pretty significant event in human history. The law of Moses, I mean, even the world recognizes it and made a movie out of it. That was a pretty significant event in human history. His face was glowing and he put a veil over his face for a number of different reasons. But what God wants to do in our lives, he said just now that wasn't even worth comparing. It's not even worth hardly even bringing up. Versus what he wants to do in our lives. Not worth comparing. What else does not worth comparing mean? That there's something he wants to do in our lives that blows all that away. that those guys weren't serving themselves but us, on whom the apex of the ages has come. Don't see the rest of your life as Mr. Potato Head. I mean, there's so much God wants to do in our hearts, our lives, if we've got the heart for it, if we've got the faith for it. Don't see your life any different than those people in Hebrews 11 who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, had their dead brought back to life, and then realized that all of that was somehow for us and about us. Now I'll just go ahead and read the thought that I wrote down. What is your ceiling? What is the limit you have placed on your individual life? What is the standard? Is it a life filled with greater glory than John the Baptist? Or somewhere deep down have you settled for less? Our God has so much in store for us if we have the heart and the faith for it. He said that the glory of the old covenant wasn't even worth comparing to the glory of the new covenant. Remember that the old covenant had some pretty special people. Read Hebrews 11 and all the exploits different men and women of God did under the not worth comparing covenant. Please, please, please see that what God wants to do in your life is greater than all that. Jesus really meant something when he said that John the Baptist was the best that had ever been born, but the least in the kingdom was greater. Whatever view you have of yourself, you can't be any lower than the least. Don't let your lack of vision and faith keep you from what God really wants to do in your life. If kings longed for these days and angels longed to look into these things, then some pretty special stuff must be in store. Don't let your current level of experience taint your vision of what God longs to do in your life, day by day by day. What would bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold look like in light of the least being greater than John the Baptist? And that's not even the standard. Full stature is where we're headed. Is it a trip to Walmart, or is it a faith-filled, sword-drawn, love-drenched, fire-bringing exploit with a few other warriors? Participate with God in redeeming planet Earth from the curse. Live vertically. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Who will bust their ceiling to glimpse by faith the inheritance God longs for, can't wait for, in us? Who will say, let God be true, and every limiting thought and attitude be called a liar? If a couple of wimpy demons made a man break chains and act insane and sent a herd of pigs off a cliff, what would happen in a Godhead-possessed life? No wonder it's greater than John the Baptist. Do not envision the rest of your life with any less power, glory, and impact than the faith-filled pioneers spoken of in the not-worth-comparing covenant in Hebrews 11. Even they knew that it was our day that they were pioneering for. P.S. Start today.